was I going to say? A plethora, a multitude, a...
Plethora is a good word.
I mispronounced it. I said plethora.
But that almost makes it sound even cooler. It's like, you know how, I'm not even
plethora.
It's a plethora.
She was Thor's mother, plethora. And she invented the Pythagorean theorem.
I'm out. You had to go to math. I'm out. I was with you.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Hey there, sports fans. Welcome back. It's the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We are enjoying the Lent season. I know that sounds kind of anachronistic to say, maybe, because Lent is about giving up something, sacrificing something. But Darren, for me, I'm kind of getting my health numbers back where they should be after eating my weight in king cake during Mardi Gras. Absolutely. I don't know about you. Did you do that too? I always do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people keep bringing me king cake from all over. So we had the same people bring us incredible king cake from New Orleans.
Yes. It was by far, tell me the name again, was it Randazzo?
Randazzo's, yep.
Randazzo's. It was by far, for me, the best king cake I have ever had. So I must give a shout out to the delivery service that brought my king cakes also brought your king cakes. My in-laws, Paul and Diane, thank you so very much. It was incredible. We appreciate it very much. Once we woke up from the coma, we were very, very thankful still. So it was worth it.
It's so worth it.
Oh, so good.
And I found, Darren, that people outside of Louisiana, they don't get the whole thing with king cake. They're like, no. What's the big deal? When you have a good king cake, you know what the big deal is.
Right.
Randazzo's is certainly at the top of the list. But I had some other good ones, Darren. Lila's, which is a local bakery here.
It's local. That is good. You're right.
I tried a cinnamon cream cheese for the first time. It was absolutely delicious.
I don't think I've had a cinnamon. I'm going to have to try that next year, I guess. So it was, I like cinnamon.
It wasn't what I had planned that day. I'd gone in to buy just a regular cream cheese filled king cake and they were sold out, but they said they have some cinnamon. I said, well, that sounds interesting. Let's try that. So it was a hit with our family.
Well, I'll keep that in mind for next year.
Had a good one from Louder's Bakery. Of course, Julianne's is always makes great king cakes. And then Kaluda's. They had good king. I'm trying to think. I'm leaving out a couple of others, but we try to hit all the bakeries around the state.
You know, it's interesting. Julianne's, that's our like go-to place for birthday cakes. But I don't think we've ever had a king cake from there. That kind of blows my mind that's never crossed. I don't think we've ever even thought about getting a king cake from there. I think we're going to have to try that. And I start making a list of like king cake to-do lists.
They are good. Someone this year told me you've got to try the king cake from Southern Made Donuts. I didn't realize Southern Made.
I did not know that either.
So that's a little intriguing.
Because they, you know, I'm a Krispy Kreme guy, just to be totally transparent. We're just throwing away free ads like they're nothing here, but I'm a Krispy Kreme guy, but Southern Made Donuts knows how to make a donut. I will give props, give credit where credit is due. I love a Southern Made Donut. Can't argue with that.
Do one thing and do it well.
And they, I'm sure, like, might have been the guy that owns Southern Made Donuts. Who knows?
Well, it is the season of Lent. So however you choose to observe, or if you choose not to observe, that's your prerogative as well. But it is a special time. And so hope that things are well with all of our listeners and that life is treating you good. We appreciate you for tuning in. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow us to stay up to date with all the episodes as they drop, including potential bonus episodes and additional segments that may not air in our current weekly shows. Speaking of big news, Darren, we've got some big news out of the state of Iowa. And it has nothing to do with baseball.
Or corn or snow. But go ahead.
Caitlin Clark, who arguably is the best player in women's college basketball. Absolutely. Became the all-time leading scorer in women's basketball when she scored 49 points against Michigan on Thursday, February 15th. So congratulations to Caitlin Clark, who adds yet another accolade to an already stellar career.
Man, she is just, just that sentence by itself broke the record on a night when she scored 49. What an incredible career she's having. And because that the scored 49 part of it is just kind of the norm, that especially the people in Iowa, oh yeah, that's right, that's what she does. They're used to it. It's that's really incredible.
It is, and we're witnessing a generational talent. There's
absolutely,
she has another year of eligibility. She could come back, or she might go to the WNBA. We don't know yet where that will all play out. Now she's closed in on Pete Maravich's all-time record, and as she gets closer to that, we'll have more to say about that, but mm-hmm. definitely something to keep your eye on.
Absolutely.
In football news, we talked about this last week, Darren. Alabama needed an offensive coordinator, and it looks like they found one.
And they did. Nick Sheridan, who we actually talked about last week as being the there were two in-house candidates that looked like would be possibilities that might be a division of duties or sole responsibility, and Nick Sheridan ended up getting that. He is the one on staff that has former offensive coordinator experience. He was also offensive coordinator at the University of Indiana and is used to the system that's going to be, we assume, that's going to be run there at Alabama. So not a complete surprise, something that kind of makes sense at this point in the deal. It'll be interesting to see how that all works out. You would assume that Coach DeBoer is going to be heavily, heavily involved and will, even if not play calling, there will still be a lot of offensive game planning that goes on between the two. Not just Sheridan doing it all by himself, but still, nonetheless, he is now the offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. Congratulations to him. Pretty cool title to have. No matter who you are, that's a pretty cool title to have.
Ask and you will receive. We talk about it on the show and it happens.
Hey, what are we, 2 for 2 at coordinator positions with that? That's a pretty good run.
So if your team is currently looking to fill some vacancies, be sure to let us know and we'll mention it on the show.
Let us know in the comments. We'll see what we can do.
In other college football news, not good news. Yeah. Trey Holly, freshman running back for the LSU Tigers, was recently arrested for his suspected involvement in a shooting on February 9th in his hometown of Farmerville, Louisiana. He played high school ball at Union Parish High School. Farmerville is just north of Ruston, Louisiana, home of Louisiana Tech University. He's been suspended indefinitely by LSU while this investigation is conducted. On February 17th, this past Saturday, he took to Twitter, or now what do we call it, X?
X, yeah.
To proclaim his innocence, saying that he has been falsely identified, accused, and arrested. It's just a sad situation all the way mm-hmm. around, Darren.
Yeah, exactly. Most importantly, for not only, you know, obviously there's a victim in this circumstance. It is an attempted murder, attempted second degree murder and not an actual. So hopefully whatever is going on there with that victim, there's a complete recovery and our prayers obviously is with that person and their family, but if there is a mistaken identity, whatever it is, ultimately you want the truth to be found out. It's just like the things we've seen go on with college athletes in the past that have so much going on for them. Even if it is a mistaken identity, being in the wrong place with the wrong people, there's so much that can be learned by other college athletes that hopefully, even if that ends up being the case, that they can learn. If he was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, if that kind of stuff is going on, he should have never been there to begin with for his protection as well as, you know, anyone else with him. The truth is found out. The family and the victim is okay, and hopefully others can learn from this. I mean, really, honestly, I don't know what else you can do or see in this kind of situation, or see is the outcome in this kind of situation.
We hope that whoever committed this shooting is brought to justice.
Exactly.
We hope that the correct person is identified, and
absolutely,
if it's, you know, and we hope that, you know, we selfishly, we hope it's not Trey Holly, but he was involved, connected somehow,
right.
Unfortunately, exactly. As you just said, and it's going to, even if he's exonerated, you have a dark cloud hanging over.
That's
over
exactly
his
right.
Career. This is a kid who set the all-time high school rushing record in the state of Louisiana. I saw him on multiple occasions since he's in our area. Basically, he was the single, the main difference in their wins. He just one of those special players. And now you hate to see news like this. That is, hopefully he didn't do it.
Right.
But there's a long road back from something like this. And so we will continue to watch that develop.
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and pause for this week in sports history.
February 22nd, 1980, the U.S. men's hockey team faced the Soviet Union in the semifinals of the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. The Soviets were the four-time defending gold medalists and had dominated international hockey for decades. The Americans were a young and inexperienced team composed mostly of college players and led by Coach Herb Brooks. Few gave the U.S. team any chance of winning as they had lost to the Soviets 10-3 in an exhibition game just 2 weeks earlier. The Americans played with heart and determination and kept the game close throughout. They trailed 3-2 after two periods, but tied the game early in the third period on a goal by Mark Johnson. With 10 minutes left, Captain Mike Gurazone scored the go-ahead goal, sending the crowd into a frenzy. The U.S. team then held on for the final minutes with goalie Jim Craig making several crucial saves. As the final seconds ticked away, sportscaster Al Michaels delivered his famous call, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. The U.S. team had pulled off one of the greatest upsets in sports history, stunning the Soviets and the world. They went on to win the gold medal by defeating Finland in the final game. The miracle on ice became a symbol of American pride and patriotism and inspired generations of hockey players and fans. It is widely regarded as the most memorable moment in U.S. Olympic history.
Oh, thank you.
Turning our attention now to college basketball with an update of the AP Top 25 polls. We'll start with the men's side and the SEC teams that are in the poll. Tennessee still at number 5, Alabama at 13. Auburn slipped one spot to 14 after a home loss to Kentucky, which rose up to 17. South Carolina at 20 after an upset loss to the LSU men's team.
Yes.
And Florida at 25. So 6 SEC teams in the top 25, Darren. That's not too shabby.
That seems to be the SEC kind of cresting when you want them to. Just throwing that out there.
Because we are getting closer to, I can almost smell it, feel it, taste it.
I can feel it. That's exactly right.
The madness is on the horizon.
Oh, the madness. You got to love it.
I know it's coming close because I've already had to mow my yard once this year. I made it to Ash Wednesday. And Mindy says, what are you doing? The grass isn't growing. I know, but obviously we have a lot of weeds. And when you mow them, they look green and pretty. So
yeah, that's true.
So let's go over to the women's side of things. South Carolina is still at number 1, Texas at 5. LSU at 13 and Oklahoma at 23. So 4 on the women's side from the SEC representing in the top 25. Now, this past Saturday, Darren, in preparation for the NCAA tournament, a top 16 list of seedings were revealed to prepare us for the tournament. Of course, this could change, but the SEC teams that made that list, broken down into different regions, Tennessee was listed as a 2 seed in the Midwest, which I believe that will be those games at Detroit. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so in the South, which was the Dallas region, which that's just down the road from us. That's not bad at all. Alabama is a 3 seed. And then going out west to the West region, Los Angeles, Auburn is a 4 seed. So those are the only SEC teams in the initial top 16. Of course, as we talked about before the show, Darren, if Kentucky is actually getting it together, they could very well wind up on that list.
Which you don't want to just jump on the, you know, and immediately say, oh, you know, you don't want to sound like Texas football fans. They won a game. They're back. You know, you don't want to sound like that. But it seems that some of the offensive woes that they were having were settled on the defensive end this weekend. As crazy as that sounds, they seemed to shore up their defense, looked a little bit to get more together, looked much stronger on the defensive side. And then you could see in the game how that defense created offense, you know, created momentum to the offensive end of the floor. If they carry that momentum and figure that out, again, speaking of cresting at the right time, as we've talked about, it won't catch us off guard to see them do it yet again. So
I think Calipari's under quite a bit of pressure. That
absolutely.
I was listening to his post-game press conference and thinking, okay, this guy is just releasing a lot of pressure and stress. Hopefully that's all it was, because if we have more press conferences like this, he's going to become insufferable.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's no question about it. Kentucky is a dangerous team.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough talent there. All it takes is to have kind of that one linchpin moment where everything pulls together. And then, uh-oh, you know, here they come. And what are you going to do about it with that much talent on the floor?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, going back to our top 16 seedings, let's go over to the women's side of things. We're in the region one, which is Albany. We have South Carolina, of course, at the number one overall seed. In region two, which is Portland, Texas has a 2 seed. In region three, Albany again, LSU, a 4 seed. And then Portland, no one else in region four from the SEC. But
no.
I guess I didn't realize that they were just two different places there.
I didn't realize that either. I thought during the initial stages they were spread out like the men's, and then it kind of – but I guess not. Because this is these what we're our source is NCAA.com. So I guess maybe they alternate sessions or something like that, where they do it in two different places or instead of four.
That surprises me. It really does.
Me too. We'll have to make a note of that and dig into it. Maybe we have a better answer next week.
Right. And if you're listening and you know the correct answer, if we do have it wrong, let us know. If we have it right, just let us know as well. We'll keep digging into that as well.
Absolutely.
Just maybe one of those things, Darren, that we didn't really we had it on our notes for the show. We didn't really think too deeply of it until just now. It's one of those things, and you say it out loud, you're like, oh, wait, is that right?
Yeah. Because when you just start going, you go this region, and then it hits you. It's like, okay, that there was some duplication there. What just happened?
Well, college basketball is not the only sport going on right now. College baseball has launched its season, and we're excited about that.
Yes, we are.
Especially Darren.
Yes, so I am.
Let's talk a little bit about the college baseball rankings. And we have
plethora is a good word.
I mispronounced it. I said plethora.
But that almost makes it sound even cooler. It's like, you know how I'm not even
plethora.
It's a plethora.
She was Thor's mother, plethora. And she invented the Pythagorean theorem.
I'm out. You had to go to math. I'm out. I was with you.
Okay, enough with these platitudes. let's get back to the play sheet.
I will sing your praises for everything you just did there.
At number two in the top 25, the Arkansas Razorbacks. LSU at number three. I'm sure Arkansas fans are appreciating this because their basketball team is totally deconstructed this year.
They are baseball fans all in.
Florida at number four. Your Vanderbilt Commodores at number six, which you've been waiting for this, haven't you, Darren?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of baseball fans all in, we get it, Arkansas. We get it.
I don't know why you're such in a hurry to leave the Jerry Stackhouse era.
Well, baseball needs about two more weeks to have more wins than basketball and football combined. That's why.
Texas A&M at number eight, Tennessee at nine, Texas at 16, Alabama at 17, South Carolina at 21. You look at these polls. We just went over the college basketball polls, men and women's. We're looking at baseball now. Coming off of football, what do we say down here, Darren? It just means more.
It just means more. And I mean, literally more than half of the top 10 baseball teams in the country are SEC schools.
And we haven't even started talking about gymnastics.
And if you wonder about gymnastics, I think it's that every Friday night, the gymnastics are on the SEC network or something like that. I'll be flipping through and be like, I didn't realize LSU and South Carolina were playing. What's going on? Oh, it's gymnastics. Never mind. Got me all excited.
Yeah, definitely. There's always something, and always. You can count on SEC teams being right in the thick of things as well.
Absolutely. Well, let me throw a couple of stats from this weekend at you. Just some fun things about a couple of SEC schools and how they're now. This is acknowledging the fact that for the most part, nobody played a team that you were like, oh goodness, I hope we, you know, hope we don't get swept this weekend. Now I will say, Arkansas lost one of their games this weekend. Vanderbilt lost one of their games this weekend. Florida only played one game because of inclement weather and lost that game. That's the reason they dropped in the top 25. So some SEC schools did play tougher schools that had some good pitching and lost one of their games, but still won their series. But even with that being said, there were some pretty fun stats that I wanted to throw out. For instance, in home runs, Georgia, who's not even in our top 25 yet, had 10 home runs in the first weekend of the year. In the first three games of the year, they are already a double-digit home run team and the only SEC school that is so far. So they're in the top five of all of the NCAA baseball. So they have 10 home runs, double digit home runs. In stolen bases, our good friends at Kentucky, who again are not in our top 25, are in the top three of stolen bases, already have 14. They averaged almost five stolen bases a game this weekend. Regardless of where they are, they had a good team last year, pretty incredible run last year. If they're that aggressive and have that much speed, might want to look out for them. That's one of the things that kind of made that stat stand out for me. And then speaking of things to look out for, I admit it was against McNeese State, who is here in Louisiana. So, no, they weren't playing LSU or Arkansas or Vanderbilt. But Texas A&M against McNeese State this weekend had a team ERA of 0.36. They allowed one run the entire weekend. That's a pitching staff that has control of the ball. No matter who you're playing, they've got some stuff that they're able to throw and they have control of the ball. So first weekend of the year, a 0.36 ERA as a staff, that's pretty incredible. There's a happy pitching coach that slept really, really good Sunday night, would be my guess, no matter who the opponent was.
No doubt.
So just some fun stats to kind of throw out there.
You don't get that kind of ERA and wiffle ball in the backyard.
No, you do not. Which, speaking of things always on, every once in a while, if you're flipping channels, ESPN News plays things from, what's it called, ESPN Ocho. There is a national wiffle ball tournament. I did watch about three innings of a game. Not going to lie. I have seen it. Just saying.
Is that here? in the United States?
Yes, absolutely. It was like up in like the I think it was in like New Hampshire, Massachusetts, somewhere like that. It was up in the Northeast.
And we still want to debate who the greatest country is. It's clear. We have wiffle ball.
And there is a national kickball tournament as well. So, I mean, is there really a debate? Let's be honest.
No.
Exactly.
No, not at all. I remember those kickball games at recess.
Oh, single greatest thing in the world, was it not?
Mm-hmm. And did you still have dodgeball in gym class?
Oh, absolutely.
Where we'd destroyed put all the red balls in the middle of the court and we'd run and just try to pulverize each other.
Absolutely.
Are kids still allowed to do that today?
I would be stunned if dodgeball was still played. Because, you know, the only rule that we had was no headshots. You know, just don't hit anybody in the face, basically, was the only rule. So I can't imagine that flying in today's world.
You guys were much more civilized than we were. It's just about take the other team out.
Well, I mean, there were still headshots. It was just, I didn't mean to. That's what, yeah. I didn't mean to. And all was well.
Yep. Yeah, we turned out all okay. Maybe not.
Depends on who you ask, but
yeah. Certain things are up for debate.
Yeah.
But a lot going on as we get near to March Madness. We'll continue to give updates on college baseball and, of course, track all the news going on in college football. One thing, Darren, I want to get your opinion on this. The NBA All-Star game, did you see the score of that? 211 to 186.
I don't get it.
I'd be very curious to see what our listeners have to say about that. Bob Ryan, a longtime columnist up in Boston, and sometimes he can come across pretty cranky, set in his ways. He was just blistering the NBA, saying it was a farce. And is it, or is that kind of what fans of the NBA like? If you're an NBA fan and you listen to the show, we'd love to hear your feedback on that.
Absolutely.
You know, if you think it's a wonderful thing, let us know. And we'd love to hear from you about that because I'm not sure how to process all of it.
Yeah, because you want to see a high-scoring game. I mean, I don't care who you are. Everybody enjoys For the most part, everybody enjoys like a 107 to 103, but is the reason that you used to enjoy that as much as you did is because it didn't happen that often? Was that part of the allure of it when you watched a game like that? Or is it because people enjoy scoring? Because, you know, that's always been one of the things that people have as a knock against soccer and hockey, that you could invest, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is in either one of those games, and it ended, you know, soccer could end in nothing to nothing, and hockey could end in, you know, 1-0. I mean, legitimately. So it is scoring that much of an appeal. So I hope we do get some feedback on that. That'd be really interesting to hear what people's thoughts are on that.
It is definitely different. It is not your 80s NBA anymore.
It's not. That is for sure.
Well, thank you for tuning in for another episode. We appreciate you so, so very much. Be sure to like, to follow, to comment, to let us know your feedback. What did we get wrong? What did we get right? What do we need to add? What's something that we haven't talked about that you want us to talk about? Maybe your team is doing great with tennis or bowling this year or golf, and we haven't mentioned that. So give us a shout out, and absolutely, we'll be sure to include an update on your team as well. So until next Tuesday, new episodes drop every Tuesday, sometime in the wee hours of the morning, depending on how much sleep Darren got the night before.
Depending on night owl status.
That episode will appear magically at some point Wednesday morning.
Exactly.
So thanks again for watching, and y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.